Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2015, and with me today, I have, I was going to call you troublemakers, but you're my emotional support team today. Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff, but more importantly, how are you?
I'm doing so much better now that I've sorted out the technical issues with today's show. And by technical issues, I mean me being a little bit brain dead.
We usually call that error 17 in the tech support business. The error is 17 inches from the monitor. Sometimes it's a little nicer than calling it user error.
Yeah, we had a serious 17 happening here. But it's all better now. John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Getting over my cold. And I sound serious this morning, but if you only knew what was going on in the pre-show.
Oh, people. Yes,
you
if you
no
only knew.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and it's probably for the best because listeners, this is how I keep the excitement in our relationship. Anyhow, speaking of exciting, we have a sponsor today, and that is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll talk about them more in a bit. But first, what I wanted to do, Mr. Serious Pants John, is take a look at your thoughts about WWDC, meaning Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, which is next week. That's the event where Apple gets together a bunch of their engineers and third-party developers, and they have this whole big Burning Man sort of thing where they don't actually burn anything. It's an event where third-party developers get one-on-one FaceTime with Apple engineers for the software and other products that they're developing for Apple's platforms, and they get information about what's coming with upcoming versions of OS X and iOS, and they learn more about Apple's product roadmap. And John, you have some ideas about how this should all play out.
Well, you know, for several years now, Apple has been introducing its new OS, Mavericks and Yosemite, at WWDC, and Craig Federici comes out with charm and wit and style and humor, and he gives us a demo of all the new things that have been in Mavericks and Yosemite. And I was thinking this time, based on a lot of feedback from the readers, that this might wear kind of thin if he does it again this year. And that's because Yosemite has turned out to be a little rough around the edges, especially with networking. So I thought, well, it would be time, it would be nice if Craig were to come out and kind of have a different approach to Yosemite, because, you know, we don't need more features like Handoff that we don't really use very much. I'm looking at you, Handoff. You know, a lot of jazz and a lot of new features just introduce errors and keeps the OS from getting settled down. There's some good security stuff going on underneath, but in terms of the user experience, I've never seen more complaints about the stability of a version of OS X. And, you know, personally, I couldn't get AirDrop to work until iOS 8.3 and OS X 10.10.3. And now it's working fairly reliably, but it didn't work out of the box in Yosemite 10.10.0. So
it's still flaky
it's
for me.
Still not working for you. I mentioned in the article that not everybody's having success with that. So my gist of the article was, wouldn't it be cool if Craig came out and said, you know, we're going to do another Snow Leopard-like release. We're going to button down things. We're going to clean things up. We're going to make sure everything just works like it's supposed to do. You know, and that's what I hear most from the readers is, gee, I wish OS X were like the old days of Snow Leopard and Lion, where everything just worked. I'm concerned that in order to sort of keep up with the Joneses, meaning the Microsoft guys up in Redmond, and in order to have a compelling, exciting WWDC keynote, and to get the developers excited about all the new APIs that's in OS X so that they can do cool things and make a lot of money, that there won't be that kind of introspection, that kind of like, you know, we know what's going on. We know there's problems. And a big one is this return from Discovery D to MDNS Responder to try to straighten out the issues that they've had with Wi-Fi networking, which is kind of an embarrassment for Apple to have to go back to. And it's part of this theme of rolling things out. You know, we've got an agenda. There's cool things we want to do. We want to integrate with iOS. We got this task and these tasks, and so we're going to write new code, and we're going to replace, you know, legacy Unix daemons with, you know, new stuff that can support our agenda, and then it doesn't quite work, and then the customers are annoyed. And then we go to the Black Hat conference, and we discover that there's still holes in Safari, and people win big money by exploiting it. And you're going, you know, come on, Apple, you've got a lot of talent and a lot of resources. Let's slow down here a little bit. Let's really batten down the hatches and give us a stable, beautiful OS release. Make everything that you released in Yosemite work the way it's supposed to, and put some little, maybe a little extra intelligence in the OS. I've written about this before, to kind of poke around and see what's going wrong and try to, you know, do some intelligent reporting to the customer. That would be a nice thing to see during WWDC. I don't know if it would be as sexy, but certainly would make a lot of people happy, because, you know, while WWDC is an event for developers, users get to watch, and we're enthusiastic, and, you know, we want our OS to work really, really well.
Now, see, John, I think it's interesting that you would say that bringing Craig out as the PR move is kind of not what people want this year, because I would think
I want Craig to do it. I just want him to settle down a little bit.
Because I think this year, more than most, they really do need to do the bolt tightening, mm-hmm. Under the hood sort of release, like Snow Leopard was, like Mountain Lion was. And I think that if they're not going to introduce a bunch of mind-blowing new stuff, that they're going to need somebody like Air Force One to come out and sort of charm people into believing that this is all really great, when really what it is we have some stuff that we need to make sure works. So you're not going to get new stuff in this release. We're going to just make sure the stuff that we've already given you is solid, which a lot of people would be happy about.
And if anybody can make the showcase for that kind of, you know, update to OS X, it's Craig.
I mean, exactly.
It's, instead of using his charm and style and his wit to rule out features that we don't use or are unstable, he should use his charm and style and wit to convince us that this is going to be the greatest OS ever.
Because if Yosemite would be great if all of the stuff that was in it did what it was supposed to do. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. And Craig could get up there and talk about how they're tightening up the next version of OS X, and it's going to be more stable and faster, and talk about the under-the-hood stuff, even though that's not the sexy thing that they need to have during the public keynote, which is what everyone's going to get to experience next week. But that's okay, because they have Apple Watch, and we know that WatchKit is going to be updated, or they're going to start talking about the new features for WatchKit, meaning the ability to write Apple Watch native apps.
Right.
And they're going to open up access to the sensors to third-party developers. So there's a lot that they can do with the wow factor and the sexy factor that all orbits around Apple Watch. So they can get away with a little bit more mundane, relatively speaking, presentation for OS X because of what they're doing with Apple Watch.
But the other interesting thing about
that... Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, what I was going to say is it would put the D back in the WWDC keynote, which is for developers, and actually talking about some of the nuts and bolts of some of this stuff, even during the public keynote, to sort of remind people that this is a developer conference, that this isn't Macworld, that this isn't an iPhone event or an iPad event, you know, or any of Apple's other special events that we've seen more of lately, because, you know, the watch got to and on and on. Having the capability to talk about that stuff on stage and really remind people that this is in fact a developers conference, because I know a lot of developers sort of are unhappy with the evolution of that keynote there, because, you know, it didn't used to be televised. It didn't used to be streamed. It didn't used to be anything. It never was anything that, you know, network news shows were going to talk about.
You bring up a good point, Kelly. Once they start streaming it live, then it loses its focus on the developers and it becomes a media event. And then they feel compelled to jazz it up.
Yeah. And,
well,
you know, that's
that
how
event is a media event.
Yes,
they have two keynotes, the public keynote, which we will see on the 8th, and then I think it's several hours later, then they do the developers keynote.
The state of the
so,
art. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's the public media event that they use WWDC as a platform for, and then the keynote that the developers are really going to be interested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, there's stuff in the public one that they care about. But if anyone thinks that the public WWDC keynote is anything more than a media event, then they're misinformed.
Right. But there used to be more developer content in it. And so I think bringing some of that back, particularly even if the takeaway message for people who are not developers and just sort of casual Apple watchers is, you know, all that stuff that acts weird on your computer, we're going to fix it. That would be a nice takeaway.
Well, you know, Google and Microsoft are both doing that. Microsoft is getting buttoned down about Windows 10. And from what I can see so far, they're taking it very seriously. Google played it safe during the keynote on Friday. Instead of doing all sorts of glitzy, you know, risky things, and they've been burned a little bit by Google Glass and burned by the concept that Google can't really do anything that's long-term and make some money at it, that it's all just a bunch of toys that, you know, fail. So Google, from what I read, and you watched it, didn't you, Kelly, they sort of buttoned down and said, you know, we're going to be more serious and look at the long-term and give customers stable long-term products. And so and now it's Apple's turn.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of flash in the Google I.O. event. It was neat. I mean, there was a lot of interesting stuff there. And there were some, and I think that they also did something that I would like to see the equivalent of from Apple. Go with me on this. One of the things that they talked about was how if you are not in the United States and you have an Android phone, you have a very haphazard experience. And the reason for that is because different phones don't get the right system updates. And so the thing that you're having trouble with on your phone, if you had a different carrier or if you had bought it 2 weeks later, you know, you would have all of those things fixed. And so, and a lot of the difficulty that they have is that fragmentation. And they've started trying to bring everything under one umbrella so that all of these features that they talk about at Google I.O. and everybody goes home excited to deploy are actually, in fact, available to as many people as possible. And so
it's cute how they're doing that, but it's not going to work. It's too late.
Well, it's not going to work here, to be sure. It's never going to work in the United States. Thanks, carriers. But in the rest of the world, they talked about how they were making concessions for things in the rest of the world and how some of the things that are important are support for multiple SIM cards and having a replaceable battery because you don't always have reliable power in some of these places. And so not everybody has the ability to charge their phone on their nightstand every night. So one of the things that they talked about was trying to sort of unify that stuff and bring it all together under one thing, which is how it should have worked all along. And that's the kind of thing I'd like to see from Apple is not, I'm going to show you how Siri can turn your lights on and off because Siri still can't do that. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
So
I want to see Apple do the same sort of thing. I don't need it to be, it will be exciting to me if they can say all of the people who are suffering from Wi-Fi don't have this problem anymore. We finally nailed down what it is that has cursed our graphics chips for lo these many years. We finally understand what it is about Discovery D that's causing people to have these problems, and we're going to be able to resolve it. That's the kind of stuff that to me would be very exciting. And I'm not a developer, but anything that you're going to do, and if you publicly announce that's going to make my computer work better, I am all for that.
Yay.
I'm with you, Kelly.
Yeah. I'm with you too. And I am hoping that we get a lot of polish for Yosemite as opposed to a lot of new haphazard features.
Mojave.
Hey,
Mojave or Sequoia?
El Capitan. I don't care. That'll be the new release.
Yeah, I don't care what they call it as long as it works. Well, all right. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
That makes your computer work better, Jeff.
That's wonderful how you just said that. Anyhow, Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, they are our sponsor today. And I'm really pleased with that because I actually am a Pathfinder 7 user. John, you are too.
I am.
And yeah, and I love that that I have this tool that I'm using on my Mac that makes it just so much easier to work with the content that I have. And it offers me so much more flexibility beyond I can move a file here and I can copy a file there. It lets me do things like compare the contents of folders. It lets me group files together from various locations, like different folders, different hard drives on remote servers, group them together into a little repository so that I can move them as a single unit into a new folder. And I haven't been able to do that before Pathfinder 7. I had to have multiple windows open and move stuff around my screen so I could find just what I want, so I can try and move things where I need them and still end up missing something. I don't have that problem with Pathfinder 7. I also love that I can add those little extra panes to the bottom of a Pathfinder window so that while I'm looking at the list of files in a folder, I'm also looking at a terminal window. I'm looking at a get info window for whatever I currently have selected. I have another window open showing me permissions for the selected item. And it's no big deal just to put all that stuff right there. It's like the Finder for power users. It's absolutely wonderful. So, Jeff, anyhow, Path. Yes, John.
Can I mention something I like about it?
Yes, please.
I keep a folder of my particle debris web logs. When I find an article, I drag it in there. What particle debris does is if it's a video, even though it's just a web log link to a URL, puts a little triangle in front of it. Shows me it's a video link. I like that.
Oh, so you have that little visual cue.
Yes.
Nice.
That's really nice. I like that. Yeah. So, all right. There you go. Now you know two of us are using this regularly and loving it, so you should try it out too. And to try it out, what you need to do is go to the Cocotec website. So that's cocoatech.com/Pathfinder. You can download Pathfinder 7 for free and try it out for several days. And after that trial period, because you will have fallen in love with it and won't be able to live without it, then what you need to do is use the discount code TDO for TMO, Daily Observations, very clever that way, TDO, get yourself 25% off the price. So not only will you have an incredibly powerful tool for managing the files on your Mac far more efficiently, but you'll have a little money left over so you can head over to the coffee shop and get yourself a drink. So thank you to Cocotec and Pathfinder 7 for being our sponsor today. That URL is cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and then use the discount code TDO to get yourself 25% off. And we are almost out of time. We only have a couple minutes left. Mm-hmm. So I thought real quick we could just offer up our thoughts on just how crazy it is that someone found an Apple One computer in the garage and took it to a recycling center, not realizing what they were dropping off.
Now, we don't know that person necessarily looked, because the way the story has been told is that somebody donated a bunch of boxes out of the garage. And when the boxes were opened, it was discovered that one of them contained an Apple One.
Right. Now, my assumption is, based on what we do know from the story, that she probably just didn't have any clue. It was just, this was the old computer junk that her husband had around before he passed away. And so she was clearing this stuff out of the garage and just took it to a recycling center, which is the appropriate thing to do.
Yes.
Without having any clue what it was. So here's the thing that I love about this. The recycling center, they're trying to find her now so that they can give her $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the computer is worth $200,000. So they want to split that money with her and give her $100,000. I think that's just absolutely awesome. So they are on the hunt to find this woman. They don't know her name. They don't know where she lives. She didn't ask for a receipt, didn't want a receipt. So they have no information on her. So what I'm hoping is that when someone finally does find this woman, when she goes in, that the employees are like, yeah, that's the lady. And they can hand her $100,000 for her old Apple One computer.
How great would that be if they actually could find her? That would be nice. Yeah.
Well, this story's gone crazy.
It has.
And by crazy, I mean everyone has heard about it. So my guess is there's a high likelihood that someone knows her, and she'll end up getting back in touch with the recycling center. And the big takeaway from this is, if you have a bunch of old computer stuff in your garage and you don't know what it is, find one of your friends that knows about this stuff, and you know, buy them dinner or a six pack of whatever it is they like to drink, and have them come over and help you go through this stuff, just to make sure that you don't have $1,000 Apple One computer just sitting in there.
It's an excellent idea.
There you go. And I really hope this woman gets her $100,000.
Me too.
We are out of time. Yeah. So, John, thank you so much for being here today.
Very good. Thank you.
And Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
Of course. My pleasure.
It is always great to get to share a day with you two. And thank you to CocoTech for being our sponsor today. The website you need to go to, dear listener, so that you can try out Pathfinder 7 for yourself is cocotech.com/pathfinder. And then use the discount code TDO. Get yourself 25% off. I love saving money, and I love that they're letting you save some money too. So thank you, CocoTech. And listeners, thank you for joining us today. We will see everyone again tomorrow.